Good morning and happy Sabbath to everyone. How is everybody doing? Are you blessed so far? Amen. Amen. We're going to start by singing and worshiping God through music. We're going to have three songs and we invite all of you to participate. The first song is Great is Thy Faithfulness. Next song, is Fairest Lord Jesus, number 240. Crown him with many crowns. Number 223. 223.
Good morning, everyone. And happy Sabbath. Welcome to the special opening celebration here at the Granite Bay Hilltop Seventh-day Adventist Church. We want to thank the orchestra and the choir. Wasn't the music beautiful? And I know there's more to come, so we're in for a wonderful blessing today. I want to welcome those who are joining us who have come from out of town. Glad that you're part of this special time. And some friends that we haven't seen for a while, thank you for coming and being part of this special event. We have a very full day. We want to make sure you're aware of everything that's going to be happening today. Following our church service this morning, we're going to be having a fellowship meal, and everyone is welcome to stay. So we'll be serving food in our fellowship hall. We'll be spilling out into the courtyard area. Following the lunch, beginning at about 1:30, there are going to be self-guided tours that will be available for both the sanctuary and the Amazing Facts offices, as well as the studio. You'll receive a map, and you'll be guided through, and it'll point out different things, both here in the church as well as the Amazing Facts office. So that's going to begin at about 1:30. That'll go all the way through till about 2:30 or so. And then 3 o'clock this afternoon is our actual opening celebration. It'll be taking place right here at the church. So you want to make sure that you're a little early to get your seat. It'll be at 3 o'clock. The program will be about an hour. And then following that, right at 4 o'clock, we've got a wonderful Christian concert. It's a group of men called Christian Edition. Some of you are familiar with them. They travel around and they do these concerts, and they'll be presenting a full concert starting at 4 o'clock this afternoon. So you want to make sure that you are here this afternoon. And that'll wrap things up. We'll be ending our celebration on a high note with the wonderful music. So full day of activities. Again, welcome. Thank you so much for being here at the Granite Bay Church. We do have some announcements that we just want to bring to the attention of our regular church members and those who might be visiting. Ladies, want to remind you about the second annual birthday and baby bash that's going to take place. That's a funny word, baby bash. But anyway, that's going to happen tomorrow, April the 3rd at 10 o'clock. I had to look at that twice to make sure I read it correctly. But it's a good thing. It's going to be April the 3rd, 10 a.m. right here in the fellowship hall. So ladies, please take note of that. There's going to be a special meal that's going to help the resources to help those who have been displaced with the crisis in Ukraine. We have some of our Ukrainian church members and friends who are preparing a special meal that'll be served on the 9th. That's April the 9th. After the church service, we'll be collecting a special love offering that'll go to help those who are in need in Ukraine. We know there are many Seventh-day Adventists that have also been affected by this, and we'll be helping them with those funds too. The men's ministry, they're planning a special men's breakfast on April the 10th at 8:30 a.m. So gentlemen, please take note, and wives, write down the date for your husband, right, so he doesn't forget. It's going to be April the 10th at 8:30 a.m. We're going to meet right here in the fellowship hall. We always have such a great time together, gentlemen, so please be there for that. A special Friday evening communion service. We don't do this very often. But we're going to be doing a special Friday evening communion service, April the 15th. It's going to be at 7 o'clock right here in the church. If you've never experienced a Friday evening communion, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be just wonderful. So that's April the 15th. We have an announcement in the bulletin about the VBS, the Vocational Bible School for the Kids. That's June the 20th through the 25th. We are still looking for some volunteers, some helpers with that program. Information in the bulletin about how you can be involved. And the final thing that we need to take care of, you'll notice we have readings of those who are transferring into the Granite Bay Church. We also have some who have moved, and they are transferring their membership out of the Granite Bay Church. And we also need to officially welcome those who were just baptized as members of the Granite Bay Church. So at this time, I'm looking for a motion for the transfer of names. I see a motion. Is there a second? I see a second. All those in favor for the transfers, just raise your hand. Amen. All right, that is the majority. I want to welcome those who were just recently baptized. Those who are watching online and you are an online member, I want to welcome you as part of our church family as well. One more thing I want to mention. The service is a little bit different than our regular service this morning. So you might want to kind of follow along. We'll guide you through the process, but it'll be a little different, but you will be blessed. Right now, we're going to sing our call to worship. We have this hope. So let's stand as we sing together, We Have This Hope.
pray. Loving Father in heaven, we just sense the angels are present singing with us, and we just are praising you, Lord, for your goodness. We praise you and thank you for the miracles that we've seen that have brought this place to pass. And we just pray your presence will be here today in a special way as we come together to glorify you. We thank you for the promise. When we gather in your name, you are there. We thank you, Lord, that this is your holy Sabbath day. We know that you are here with us. And I just pray every person might be encouraged, inspired, and edified as a result. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
This is a miracle. It is a miracle that as we celebrate the opening of the Word Center, we are doing so without the encumbrance of any debt. Praise the Lord. He has provided this campus as a means to proclaim the everlasting gospel around the world and in our community. Thank you all for being part of this miracle through your prayers and your generosity. As a Granite Bay Church member and as the director of estate and gift planning for Amazing Facts, I have seen the Lord's hand move in making this vision a reality. For example, the Granite Bay Church members who have sacrificed so that Christ may be lifted up through this facility, thank you for your faithfulness. Also, the Amazing Facts partners who saw the importance of having a church-based ministry and gave, we praise the Lord for you as we see more lives change for God's kingdom. The Amazing Facts Champions of Truth partners, the monthly givers who gave to increase our capacity, what a joy it is to see more souls won for eternity because of you. The Amazing Facts Heroes of Faith Legacy Circle members, those who chose to leave a legacy for God's work through their will or trust that helped make this building possible, praise God for their foresight. And others who gave of appreciated stock, gifts of real estate, that this facility may be built for God's glory, you are indeed storing treasure in heaven. Jesus tells us that this gospel shall be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. Our mission remains, and the miracle continues when a heart is touched to give generously to this prophetic movement that it might finish God's work. Today's undesignated offering will go towards the Granite Bay Hilltop Church budget and its evangelistic efforts. The deacons will be collecting the offering at the end of the service at the foyer. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you for the miracle of this Word Center. We praise you for those hearts who have been moved to give. We praise you for the greater impact that this facility makes possible. We ask that you receive our tithes and our offerings today, and that you will perform the miracle that multiplies it into souls won for your kingdom. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. At this time, our special music will be brought to us by the orchestra and the choir, All Heavens Declare.
Oh, Good morning, church family. It is good to be with you in the house of the Lord this morning on this high Sabbath day. We welcome those that are watching online, but those of you that are here in the sanctuary, would you please stand with me as we open up God's Word this morning? Our scripture reading comes from the Old Testament, 1 Chronicles chapter 16. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, and we will start with verse 23. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His place. Give to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Give to the Lord glory and strength. Give to the Lord the glory due His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Please be seated.
At this time, we are going to have the congregational prayer, and I would like to invite the pastors and their wives to please come forward, as well as all the elders at this time. Thank you. Oh, and also those who were just baptized, please come forward. Have you been blessed so far? Come on. Come on in. Come on. Come on. Come on in. I think we want the elders behind the pastors, please. I think we have us all here. So we're going to do something a little different right now. Obviously, we can't have you come forward because of all the people here. So the orchestra and the choir will remain where they are. And I will invite each and every one of you as much as possible to please go ahead and kneel. And we will go ahead and kneel up here also as we give the prayer at this time. A dear heavenly and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we're just so thankful to be here today. And we want to make sure that this service and the words spoken, the prayers and the songs, give you the honor and the glory that you richly deserve. Lord, we want to pray for all of our members, faithful members, who have been here from the very beginning and even now and even online. Lord, we're just so grateful for these wonderful members. Continue to bless them and guide them. And many have cares, burdens, worries. And we know that you will give them the comfort and the healing according to your will. Lord, impart on them a special measure of your Spirit so that they may live consecrated lives according to your will and find the victory over sin. Lord, it is because of your design and your divine hand that the word centers become a reality, and we're so blessed to be able to experience this wonderful dedication service today. Father, we ask that this be a house of prayer, a house of refuge and strength, built upon the rock of your living word. We pray that this will be a holy sanctuary where your Spirit can be presiding, present, and poured out on all of your members in these last days. We pray that this will be a church where the life, death, and resurrection of your Son Jesus will be proclaimed to all the world. And whoever steps foot in this place will be able to find the redeeming love of your Son Jesus. Lord, today we also want to dedicate ourselves to you, mind, body, and spirit, to be able to live consecrated lives and to be able to live according to your will. Lord, we want to pray for our pastors. You have blessed us so richly with these wonderful pastors. Impart on them and anoint them with a special measure of your Spirit for them and their families to continue to guide, direct, and protect them. Thank you so much, Lord. We also want to anoint Pastor Doug today. We thank you for his leadership, for his devotion to you in preaching the word. We ask in a special way, Lord, that we prepare our hearts and minds for the special message today so that we may be moved and changed. Lord, we look forward to the soon day when you're going to be coming to take us home. But until then, prepare us, Lord. Make sure that we are prepared and we can prepare others. This is our prayer. We ask all these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, and all of your people said, amen.
Well, praise the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. This has just been a wonderful morning thus far. And what's happening here today really represents, it's a conclusion and it is a beginning. And we're just praising the Lord for the history, and this is his story of how he brought this place to be. Pastor Ross and I want to take a few minutes because there's some people that don't know the story. And we want to just sort of review the way that God has led. We'll do that briefly and then transition into the message for this morning. You can see on the screen here, we're thanking the Lord for the new Granite Bay Hilltop Seventh-day Adventist Church. Sometimes it's called the Word Center, and Word stands for World Outreach, Revival, and Discipleship. In addition to being a regular church, we're also doing international outreach and ministry and evangelism training. And I'll start out, I'll share a little bit at the beginning. Pastor Ross is going to jump in and be sharing. But let me see. Oh, I haven't turned it on. There we go. You can't really tell this story without going back and appreciating the people of the Sacramento Central Church. Karen and I were there for about 21 years, and it wasn't long after coming to Sacramento Central. God blessed. We did a lot of evangelism, and we really want to thank the team there. And I don't know if Pastor Harold White is here today or Pastor Mike Thompson. They may be here for the afternoon program. But we all began to see we needed to spread out and plant a church. The facilities there filled up. It wasn't with the parking a place where we could go to two services. And so we began to look and say, you know, we believe God wants us to plant a church. Now, Central Church over the years planted many churches in the Sacramento area, Southgate and Carmichael and Lincoln and others. So we began to pray and to look. Right away, we decided we wanted to have a church that would not just be a church, but would really be a training center using the methods of Jesus. You know, there's this verse, Pastor Ross, you might want to read that, in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35.
It says, Jesus went about to the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and disease amongst the people. So notice the words that are highlighted, teaching in their churches, preaching, healing. This was Christ's method. And if we want to be successful in evangelism, there's one example that we need to learn from and copy, and that's the example of Jesus. So I think at the time, Pastor Doug, I know I was on the staff and we were going back and forth talking about the next step for Sacramento Central Church. There was some discussion about maybe trying to relocate Sacramento Central, but that didn't really work out. They were looking to maybe get some land. Eventually the decision was made, well, let's keep Sacramento Central Church where it is because it's a beacon of truth, a lighthouse right there, close to the college and surrounding area. But let's look and maybe planting a church that can fulfill this great commission of discipling, preaching, evangelism, and that's where the word saint idea kind of came from.
Amen. This also is an acronym, those 4 points that you saw there, of the restoration, that's the healing, education, that's the teaching, adoration, that's the synagogue and worship, and proclamation, that's the preaching. And so we thought, if we want a facility that will highlight all of those things, and that actually is an acronym for REAP. That's how you get a harvest. You know, there's a great quote in Ministry of Healing, page 148 and 49. It says, every church should be a school for Christian workers. Its members should be taught how to give Bible readings, how to conduct and teach Sabbath school classes, how to reach the poor and to cultivate the needs for all classes, how to work for the unconverted. There should be schools of health, cooking schools, and classes in various lines of Christian help work. And so this is, church isn't just to be a place where you preach. We want to disciple. And
that's a big part of why we are here. So we're thinking about two types of outreach. We've got a local outreach where we are ministering to those nearest to us. But from the very beginning, Sacramento Central was doing a global outreach through media. So when it came to this new facility that we're talking about building, we wanted to be a vibrant part of our local community, but we also recognize that we want to be a voice sharing the three angels' messages to the world. I like the slogan, Pastor Doug, we wanted to be a pulpit to the world in sharing the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. It's so exciting to see how the Lord has worked this all out. And literally, our programs, our services are being broadcast around the world, translated into multiple languages. And it's not done yet. There's still many places we want to go with the gospel.
Amen. You know, we noticed that the technology made it possible for us to go way beyond the walls of the local church. Just a sample. I remember grabbing this article, and it's from 2005. And it says, the reshaping of American lives is evident in various facets of their life, including the spiritual dimension. A new nationwide survey conducted by the Barna Group indicates that while 56% of adults attend church services in a typical month, a much larger percentage is exposed to religious information and experience through various forms of media. And so we saw that, you know, if whatever we do in church, if we can multiply it through media, that with the technology, we can reach so many other people that maybe can't have a local church that they can go to. And so we thought, if we plant a church, we want to keep this in mind, that from the ground up, it would have that possibility. You know, we were all already at Sacramento Central. We were broadcasting locally and nationally and on satellite. So we said, media needs to be part of the new plan. So we voted as a church to start a church plant. And I spoke with Pastor Ross, who joined us in 2005, and said, you know, in order for this to happen, I said, I can't be two places at once. We need someone that's going to give consistent spiritual leadership and oversight to this. And would you be willing to do that? And Pastor Ross had had experience in evangelism and church planting, and he prayed about it and agreed.
Yes, I remember the time. Pastor Doug called and said, you know, here's the plan. We're looking to start a church in the Granite Bay area. It was closer to where we were living. And if there's anything that gets me exciting, it is evangelism and church-based evangelism. So I didn't have to think about it too long. I said, absolutely, Pastor Doug. We'll pray about it, but I think I know the answer. We want to be involved in a church plant. But of course, to plant a church, you need a team. And so we gathered with the Sacramento Central Church. We had a special church business meeting, and we shared the idea of wanting to start a church here in the Granite Bay area. And we had some members who actually lived in the area who were at that church business meeting, and they said, if you get going on this church plant, we want you to know we want to be a part of that core group that's involved in planning the church. So it started small. We had about 15 people meeting in the home of someone. But before we got really going with that, at the same time, while we're planting the church, we're also looking for the eventual home of the church. And that's where I think you can see on the map, yeah. We began looking for some land. And Pastor Doug, you can maybe explain what we got there.
Yeah. So we were praying and working with both the Sacramento Central Church, a new group of Granite Bay, and Amazing Facts, because we saw this as a partnership. And I'm really glad he's here today, Brother Jimmy. Or Jim, hold your hand up. He was with Amazing Facts back then and had experience in real estate. He said, I ran into a piece of land that's very unique you guys ought to look at. A beautiful community, 75 acres, got a pond on it, on top of a hill. I'm surprised it hasn't been grabbed yet. And we went and looked at it and said, you know what they say in real estate the rules are? There's three of them. You know what they are? Go to the bank. it's location, location, location. And the Lord provided where we found a spot that was really right on the intersection of two national arteries, Interstate 5, not too far, and Interstate 80, Highway 50, and top of a hill, beautiful neighborhood and community. We knew there was going to be some development challenges, but we, back in 2004, bought the property where we are sitting right now. And the Lord blessed because the value went up quite a bit after that.
So now, of course, if you look at the picture, not only do we have the property on the top, but down below, and I think some of you have seen this, but many of you haven't, there is a beautiful pond down at the bottom of the property. It's somewhat undeveloped down there. We are planning to eventually put in some hiking trails so people can actually go down there. But just a beautiful spot, not only up here on the hill that overlooks the valley, but down below there's trees, there's water. It's just a beautiful piece of land. Originally, Pastor Doug, I think the thought was to divide the property and maybe do more of a training school at the bottom of the property, like the AFCO program, and have the church and the Amazing Facts offices on the top. But when we actually got into the building permits, we realized that if we were going to be successful in getting the church and the offices built, we probably needed to put developing the lower half of the property on the back burner for now. Trying to build something in California can be challenging. And when you get into the environmental impact reports, it can drag on for a long time. So at that point, we decided let's not deal with the lower half of the property. And it actually worked out quite nice because it's a beautiful area. We can develop it with trails, picnic area. It'll be a great blessing to a number of folks. But we focused on the top part and began the building.
Yeah, and frankly, I can't speak for anyone else, but I was very naive about what would be involved. I thought, oh yeah, we'll take a year to build the church. And so, well, Pastor Ross, we better make sure we've got the human infrastructure before we get the physical infrastructure. So let's start the church plant with people. So when the church is done next year, we'll have a building ready. And so we went up on the property in 2006. Some folks from Sacramento Central and some of those who agreed to be part of the plant, We went up and we had a dedication service. And I think some of you I've seen here today that were at that service. And this has been, 16 years ago or something. And it was a wonderful time. We just prayed, said, "This is your land, Lord." And we asked God to bless and committed to move forward. And then we began to meet. We got some committees. You know, no good church unless you got a lot of committees. So we had a visioning committee and fundraising committees and design committees. And we went through several iterations of designs, architects, meeting with the county, meeting with the city, meeting with the government, dinosaur surveys, rare bird surveys, fairy shrimp surveys, Army Corps of Engineer meetings. Wow, you have no idea. I could see why folks were all moving to Texas. But we figured California, you know, California is a mission field. Amen? Someone's got to reach the natives out here. So we felt committed to stay. These are just some of the different designs that went through. One point, we were going to put the whole thing together, and we thought, you know, it would be better to have the courtyard between the offices and the Amazing Facts building. And about that same time, Pastor Ross, things were happening with the Granite Bay Group.
Yes, we after that business meeting that we had at Sacramento Central, we began to gather together a core group of people to plant the church. Bill Husk, and he's passed away since, but Bill Husk was an elder at Sacramento Central. He lived in the Granite Bay area. I remember walking out of that meeting, and he reached over and he grabbed my sleeve, and he said, "Pastor Ross, I want to be involved in the church plant." He said, "Matter of fact, I want you to think of my home as home base for the church plant." So we actually started in the living room of Bill Husk's home. Small group got together. We started praying and planning and organizing. And boy, it was so exciting. It's exciting to begin something at the very foundation and make sure that we're building on the right foundation, the Word of God, evangelism, discipleship, soul winning. And so the little group began to organize and move forward. And finally, in September of 2007, we actually had our first Sabbath service, and we met at an elementary school. Now, the elementary school is actually just over the road, not too far from here. I remember at the time we were talking about a year or so before we moved into our new building. We said, "Well, let's not go too far. Let's stay close to the property." Well, little did we know it was going to be more than a year or two before the building was bent. But we began meeting there, and you got a picture up of the school. We immediately started with evangelism. And so that first year, we started with an evangelistic series. We had an Amazing Facts evangelist come, and he did a series of meetings. Folks came from the community. We had support from folks who were part of Sacramento Central that transferred in, and the church began to grow.
Yeah.
We got a baptism, yeah, and we had a number of baptisms from that. This is one of the early baptisms. I think this was still at the gymnasium at the school right across. We had a number of folks
who were
baptized.
Who's the young fella standing there?
Yes.
That's Eric doing, I think, his meetings.
That was the meeting that we did at the time. We had an AFCO meeting. We had a number of folks who came forward and joined us. We were there for about a year at the school, and then we just started running out of room, in particular for our children's programs. We were using classrooms at the school, and it became very difficult. They didn't want us to move things around. So we found another church not too far away, and we went to the Shepherd of the Sierras, which is in Loomis, just a little ways down. And they were very hospitable. They opened up their church, and so we moved in there, and we began worshiping there. Sabbath, they also allowed us to use their facility for a midweek Bible study, and the church began to grow. And it kept growing. We kept doing evangelism, and it kept filling up and filling up. Well, at the time, Pastor Doug and I were talking, and he was trying to do work both at Sacramento Central, and then he would come over to Granite Bay when he could and preach, but he was kind of bouncing back and forth. And I think Pastor Doug, you began to realize for Granite Bay to continue to flourish, you need to kind of focus a little more of your time, especially if we were going to introduce media and start recording our services.
Well, Granite Bay was flourishing fine without me. That's what scared me. I thought I'd better get over there. And so we eventually, for a little while, Karen and I just taught Sabbath school at Sacramento Central. And finally, Chris Buttery took over and did a fine job, who was one of the associates there at Granite at the Sacramento Central Church. And we moved full time. Matter of fact, the bachelors, we moved our home where we'd been for 21 years, closer to the neighborhood, committed to, and that was a big commitment. We thought, what if the church isn't built and we just move next door? So we were still praying about the funds needed and everything to build the church, and when God continued to bless.
Well, let me ask you, how many of you worshipped or visited at the church, the Shepherd of the Sierras? Let's see a show of hands.
Amen. Look at that.
Look at all those hands. All right, so you were part of this from the very beginning.
And then ultimately, did you find out the year you were going to check?
You know, I didn't check. So I didn't make it back there. But Pastor Doug and I last night, we were trying to zoom in on that plaque that John Q is holding in his hand to see the date when we officially organized as a church, and we couldn't zoom in enough to actually see what the date is. So I don't know if somebody knows that. You have it at home, Karen? All right, I'm wondering if
you go check on the wall in Pastor John's office.
Okay. But during that time period, while we were at the Loomis Church, renting that church, we officially organized as a church. So you go from a church, a company, to actually becoming a fully-fledged church. And then around that time, we started the construction of this building.
We finally reached the point where we got the permits, where the contractors could begin construction. Now, you want to come this afternoon to the program. We've got some miracles we're going to share with you that we're saving for then. But yes, construction began at the same time we were meeting in the Sierra. But then we also moved one more time.
Yes, in order for us to do media, the church that we were renting from, it was difficult for us to do that. And so we kept looking, and we partnered with the Amazing Facts Ministry, and we found a warehouse not actually far from the old Amazing Facts offices, and we remodeled the warehouse, and we began to meet there for several years. We did a number of evangelistic series. So here's another question. How many of you were part of the church at the warehouse? Raise your hand. Now look at all of those hands going up. All right, so they were part of the warehouse church, as we called it. We were there for a number of years until coming the beginning of the pandemic, we actually stopped meeting there. It's amazing how the Lord worked this out. I mean, we were anxious, the time frame, we wanted to get into the new building, but God knew everything. He brought a buyer for the warehouse church at just the time we needed somebody to buy the building. We sold the building, the pandemic began, so we weren't able to actually meet anywhere for a while. And when things eased up, we actually were able to meet outside in the parking lot of this facility while this building was being finished. But of course, we kept doing evangelism, and you can see there a picture of some baptisms that were taking place at the Wear Out Church. And Pastor Doug, this is to illustrate how that the Granite Bay Church, and Amazing Facts, has a worldwide influence in the preaching of the gospel.
Yeah, I just got to tell you this story. But before we became a homeless church, the first baptism that we had at the, we called it the Professional Drive Park, we got a call. Somebody down at Sacramento Central said, yeah, Karen was there, and this fellow, it was just a chance that we happened to be there on Sunday, said, I want to get baptized. And he's talking to us through a translator. He flew from China. I can't tell you his name because it's difficult sometimes for Christians there. Flew from China, had been watching the programs, reading the material, got an Uber. He was a fairly wealthy man, got an Uber in San Francisco, drove him to Sacramento. They spoke both languages, and the Uber driver was translating. Anyway, Dr. Ng was very helpful and some friends in translating, and this gentleman was the first person baptized there from watching the broadcast on the other side of the world in China. And so,
he flew all the way over here, met with us, got baptized, got on a plane, and flew back to China. So that's a long way to go to get baptized. But he was just so moved by the message. He wanted to be baptized here at Granite Bay.
Amen. Now, while we were homeless, we were meeting in the parking lot of the construction site, but we were already growing, and we said, you know, maybe we should look at doing another meeting and planting another church.
Yes. I mean, Granite Bay was a plant out of Sacramento Central. We want to keep the idea of church growth and church planting going, and so we had a team of people meet with us who were from the Folsom area or near the Folsom area. They really had a burden to see a church in Folsom. And so we started a Folsom Granite Bay Church company or plant, and they've been going for several years now. And I believe that those who attend there at the Folsom Church, not all of the folks who attend there, but the core group, they with us today. So just raise your hand. Those of you who are part of the Folsom group, I see some hands over there. Okay, we got hands right here. So there's good things happening there. We've done evangelism at Folsom. And the Lord has been blessing, and we want to keep growing the work that's happening there in Folsom. So keep the Folsom group in your prayers. If ever you're in the area, go visit them on a Sabbath. They've got a great worship service right there in Folsom.
So yeah, Pastor Carlos did an evangelistic program there that was just dynamite. And Pastor Sean was helping lead out, and now Pastor Rod is helping lead out there, and that group is growing. Here we are doing our summer parking lot services because the church was not quite done yet. And because of the pandemic, we wanted to keep meeting. And so we were actually still streaming these services from the parking lot around the world. Our media team did a great job. They had to carry all the equipment outside every week. And folks were gathered in the parking lot. Sometimes we had a few hundred people. At first, I think we even had one drive-through church.
Right.
And here's Pastor Sean and Denise. The pastors were at different stations praying with people. How many of you remember those days? It was 100 degrees outside. And but praise the Lord, we eventually, in the middle of an evangelistic meeting, during the tail end of the pandemic, we did get permission to start using the building. Fortunately, something you may not know, certain construction had to stop and certain things had to stop during the pandemic. But if you were what they called critical infrastructure, you could continue working. One of the things that helped us was Amazing Facts actually owns a TV station. And if you owned a TV station, you were critical infrastructure. We were able to keep operating as Amazing Facts and the church construction because the building is owned technically by Amazing Facts and it is leased by the Granite Bay Church family.
So even though we were in the midst of the pandemic, it was just overwhelming at Amazing Facts, the number of folks who were tuning in. There were a lot of people wondering, you know, what does this mean? How does this fit into Bible prophecy? Everything's happening around us. And so we had an incredible surge of people asking questions, taking our Bible school, our correspondence program. And so Pastor Doug, while we were still meeting in the parking lot, we decided to do an evangelistic series downstairs in the studio of Amazing Facts. And so we started a series, A New Revelation, what it was called. We did a number of presentations in the studio, and the very first public part of that seminar was Sabbath morning. There you see the picture, October 22, 2020. It was not a great disappointment for us. It was a day of rejoicing for us, and we met as part of our evangelistic series. It's kind of neat to open a church with an evangelistic series, and that was sort of the culmination of this evangelistic program.
Amen. And there you have it, friends. We just, praise the Lord, there's actually a picture that shows not only the church and the Amazing Facts office, but all the way in the right, you can see the new warehouses. And since then, there are solar panels. You can see them there. They're on both buildings. And we just give God the glory. Amen? The way that He is blessed. But, and here we have the church family. Some of you were there that day when we had everyone come out and wave and take a picture. This is one of the first meetings. I think it was actually that same day. And it has been just a wonderful experience seeing how God opened the doors. And don't forget, this afternoon, we're going to be showing more about that. Now, don't go anywhere. We got lunch after the service. There's a concert this afternoon. We've got a special program at 3 o'clock. There's tours of the facilities. But Pastor Ross, you know, there was some special people that really went above and beyond everybody else that we want to recognize that have been just such a wonderful help. And there were four individuals, and we'd like to have them come up right now that have been so selfless and sacrificing in helping this all come to pass. And so I'd like to invite John Q and Kathy, hopefully they're here in the building now, to come up, and Ruth and John. He didn't know we were going to do this. You know, I just want to say, friends, this plant would never have happened without this team right here. And of course, the members that helped as well. But these four individuals just really went above and beyond in working all week long, board meetings, visioning meetings, finding buildings, dealing with taking down and setting up. Because you're in another person's church, you're in a school, when you get done, you have to take everything down. Next time, set everything up. And they have just gone the second mile. And I wanted to personally say how much I appreciate all of our team, of our pastors and their families. You know what's really nice? And maybe you can tell, we're friends. We get along. We have a good time together. Matter of fact, it's hard to have a staff meeting because we just get distracted visiting. We've got to keep coming back to the subject. And so I'd just like to thank especially John and Ruth and Kathy and John for all the work they did in helping bring this about and working. And it's a delight to work with you guys. Thank you so much, and God bless you. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
Got to grease my lips so I can preach quicker. Praise the Lord. You know, I enjoy being up here. I just want to turn around and direct. But it's kind of like my house. Nobody's listening. And I see so many familiar faces out there. It's so good to see each of you. Some of you have come a long way for our program. We're very thankful for our board members that are here with us today. And, you know, I was praying a lot about what to share. And the message will not be especially long today. We're going to quit on time. But I wanted to talk about the glory of God, and in particular, when the glory filled the house. Isn't that what we want? We want the presence of God, the glory of God, the Spirit of God to fill this place. I always like to start with an amazing fact. There's a man named Roy Cleveland Sullivan from the United States. He was a park ranger in the Shenandoah National Park in Virginia between 1942 and 1977. He holds the Guinness World Records for the man who has been struck by lightning more than any other person and lived. 7 times. And these are not just stories that were made up, because, you know, Guinness will not put you in the World Records book based on rumors. People either saw it or they saw the scars. He's got them on his back. His hair got fried. His boots got burned. He was out in the forest and maybe it hit a tree and it came off and shocked him. Matter of fact, he got shocked so many times that one time he saw a lightning storm and he got a little paranoid. He drove as far away from the hills as he could. When he finally thought he was safe, he got out of his truck to look at the storm. He got hit again by lightning. It actually hit his truck and then it knocked him down, burnt his hair off. The poor guy, people began to avoid him. And it really got bad. I think it was the 6th or 7th time. His wife was hanging clothes out on the clothesline. He went outside to help her. She got hit by lightning. And she lived. Now, this is very serious because some of us probably know people who have died because they've been hit by lightning. According to BBC, the odds of being struck by lightning are 1 in 300,000. 24,000 people die every year from lightning strikes. The chances of being struck by lightning 7 times and living are almost impossible to calculate. So the poor fella, after a while, no one wanted to get too close because they thought they might start glowing. You know, there's some times in the Bible when the glory of God came down and it frightened the people. I'd like to look at 4 occasions when glory filled the house. And I'm looking at this and studying this because that's my prayer, is that the glory of God would fill this place, and not just the place, but the people. That's the plan of salvation, that God's goodness and glory might be reflected in you. Well, let's look at our first verse. This tells a story about when the building was being completed, God's glory filled the house. Look in Exodus chapter 40, verse 33. When Moses was building the sanctuary, it tells us that people donated, they gave sacrificially, they began to build the tabernacle. And it says, he raised up the court. Exodus again, 40, verse 33. He raised up the court all around the tabernacle and the altar, and he hung the screen on the court gate. So Moses finished the work. Then the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And Moses was not able to enter the... This is a man who glowed from the presence of God. But Moses could not enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it. And it says, the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Well, let's check that off. Praise God. You can say this place is finished now. And you're always working on a church. Amen? And if you've built a home, you know you're never really done. But praise God, it's functioning, and we thank Him for that. But we want His glory to fill this place. Now, what does glory mean? I thought I ought to pause and define this a little bit. In the Bible, when you're talking about glory, listen carefully. Glory describes the splendor, intense, magnificent, resonating with power or great beauty, dignity, holiness, and majesty of God. It's pretty heavy. Let me read that again. Glory in the Bible describes the splendor, intense magnificence, resonating with power or great beauty, dignity, holiness, and majesty of God. Glory is also associated with a person experiencing God's brilliance and power and presence in a tangible way. Would God we might have both. The second story I thought we'd look at, you find in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 6, and this is when Solomon was dedicating his temple, and it actually talks about it happening several times. Then the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord to its place, to the inner sanctuary. I want you to notice what happens here. It says, when the law was proclaimed, God's glory filled the house. They brought the Ark. What's in the Ark? The law of God. Into the inner sanctuary. Finally, when the sanctuary was done, when Solomon finished building the temple, one of the last things to happen was they wanted to make sure and have that visible presence of God's word, His law, in the very heart, the inner sanctum, the holy of holies. Nothing, this is verse 9 now, and they placed it under the wings of the cherubim. Nothing was in the ark except the two tables of stone that Moses had put there at Mount Horeb. It may be when the Philistines had captured the ark, they took out the little pot of manna and Aaron's rod, because it's never mentioned again. It says nothing was in there but the tables of stone. And it says, from when they came from the land of Egypt. And it came to pass that when the priests came out of the holy place, after placing the ark under the angel wings, that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so the priests could not continue ministering because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. I'll tell you, friends, if you could choose between a pastor preaching and the glory of the Lord filling the house, choose the glory. I mean, even the priests could not go in and minister because of the presence of God. Now, when the law of God is exalted in its rightful place, and I hope that this church is a place where God's word and His law is rightly exalted, because when the law of God is neglected, which it is in many churches, if you don't have the law, sin is a transgression of the law. If you don't have the law, you don't have sin. If you don't have sin, you don't need a Savior. So you can understand the attack even among some Christians on the law of God. I remember doing an evangelistic meeting in a small town, and a number of dear people were coming from a local Presbyterian church, and they were loving the meetings. Well, we got to the subject of the law of God, and especially the fourth commandment. And some of the people said, well, that makes perfect sense. And they went and started talking to their pastor about it. And some of the members came and they said, you know what happened in our church? When we shared what we'd been learning about the law of God, the pastor took the Ten Commandments off the wall from the Sunday school class. It says he realized that he was promoting legalism. But that's happening in more places than you might think. God forbid that we might think the Ten Commandments are ten recommendations or that it's multiple choice. It is the Word of God. It does not need changing. We need changing. And it is the law that points us to Jesus. And that's why we need the law of God. We're not saved by the law, but you will be saved by deliberately disobeying. You'll be lost by deliberately disobeying it. So when it's exalted to its rightful place, I remember reading in the Bible that when the Ark of God containing the law had been captured by the Philistines, that it tells us that Eli's daughter-in-law was giving birth. And her father-in-law died that day. Her husband had died that day. The Ark of God was captured. Now, if you're married and you're giving birth and you've lost your husband and your father-in-law, you'd think that would be the biggest trauma. But you know what she said before she died? She said, Ichabod, the glory is departed because the law had been captured. That was the thing that broke her heart the most. And some churches could rightly say Ichabod today, because the law of God is not lifted up in the house of God as it should be. Can I hear amen about that? Another great example. When does the glory of God fill the house? When sacred praise was offered, God's glory filled the house. I've heard some sacred praise already today. Can you say amen? I don't think it's over either. Let's look at this. 2 Chronicles, again, looking at when Solomon dedicated the temple. 2 Chronicles 5, verse 13. Indeed, it came to pass that when the trumpeters, the musicians, and the singers were as one to make a sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, and when they lifted up their voices with the trumpets and the cymbals and the instruments of music, and they praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever," that the house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so the priest could not continue ministering because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. When you've got God-honoring music and singing in the house of God, you know, angels are singing in God's presence all the time. The glory fills the house. And by the way, friends, music does matter. It's part of worshiping God. It's serious business in heaven. And I think there is music that glorifies God, and there's the other kind. And we want to pray for those that have those gifts in our church, that we will praise God. We want the glory to fill the house when we worship and praise God. Amen? And David was very big on that. Some of you remember the story where Jehoshaphat was attacked by three surrounding kingdoms, the Edomites and the Moabites and the Ammonites. And he said, "Lord, we have no strength to go against this multitude." And a prophet arose and gave him some instruction. And they were told, and this is 2 Chronicles 20, verse 22, "When the people began to sing and to praise the Lord, they went off into battle singing and praising the Lord, that the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir," that's the Edomites, "who had come against them, and they were defeated." Now, sometimes we come to church and we feel a little down and defeated. And there's something in music. How many of you have noticed that music can change how you feel? Good and bad. If you're listening to a lot of melancholy music, you probably start feeling melancholy. But if you're listening to music that rightly praises the Lord, it can lift and elevate you, and your spirits that might be dragging and the dregs are just brought up, and your whole attitude changes. When they were praising the Lord fought against their enemy, and they were defeated. Another time that we see that the glory fills the house, 2 Chronicles 7, jump ahead two chapters. When Solomon had finished praying, there you have it. When God's people are sincerely praying, God's glory fills the house. When Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. And the priest could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and how the glory of the Lord was on the temple, they bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and they worshiped. There's a time for bowing down in the presence of God. And they praised. So they're praying, they're worshiping, they're praising. And they say, "For he is good. His mercy endures forever." You know, that refrain is found a number of times in the Psalms of David. "For God is good and his mercy endures forever." How many of you know Psalm 23? It says, "Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And so when they were praying, glory filled the house. What happened on the day of Pentecost? When the disciples were gathered together and they had put aside their differences and they were praying, the place where they were assembled, Acts chapter 2, was shaken. And suddenly the power of God came on the place and tongues of fire appeared and they were proclaiming the word of God. The glory of the Lord will fill the people of God, so they proclaim the word of God. So when we come together to church, it's not just so once a week we can feel good. We're coming to be charged with power to proclaim that God is good, that His mercy endures forever, meaning telling people about how to have everlasting life, that we worship a good and a merciful God. It happened through prayer. And yet there's some people that don't really spend a lot of time praying anymore. People come to church and sometimes they pray and they don't even believe God will answer their prayers. And I'm not just talking about you. It happened in the New Testament church. Churches gathered together, Acts chapter 12, praying that God will save Peter from prison, having an all-night prayer meeting. Finally, God saves Peter from prison. Peter comes and knocks on the door where the church is gathered praying. And Rhoda answers the door and says, "Who is it?" He says, "Peter. Peter. Peter." She's so excited, she runs in and interrupts the prayer meeting where they're praying specifically for Peter. See, Peter's at the door. And they said, "You're beside yourself," which is another way of saying you're crazy. You wonder, do we really pray in faith? If you lack anything, if you ask believing, you'll receive it. Friends, I need to tell you right now, a lot of praying brought us to this day among God's people. And I praise the Lord for not only those who were generous saints, but those who were praying saints. Some couldn't give much, but they prayed. And God had to move a number of mountains, quite literally. We moved mountains of dirt for this place to be built because of prayer. Don't ever doubt the power of prayer. I heard a story years ago about a little town in the West, and nice community. They didn't have very much crime. They actually had no liquor, no saloon, no tavern in the town. But then somebody finally applied, and they got permission to build a saloon. And they built it two or three buildings down from the biggest church in town, and the folks were indignant. They didn't want them to get the license. They thought it's going to bring all kinds of problems, and they'd have all the struggles with alcoholism. And they began to pray that God would stop the construction. But the bar was built, and people began to come. Then they had some more all-night prayer meetings, and they prayed that God would burn down that den of iniquity. One night when they were having this all-night prayer meeting, a storm came through, and lightning struck the tavern. Fortunately, it was late, and nobody was hurt, but it burnt to the ground. Well, the saloon keeper, knowing what the church was doing, he got an attorney, and he sued them for burning down his church. Well, the church did the obvious thing. They went and got an attorney who said that they were innocent. And it was a very confusing case. And after much deliberation, the judge finally said, "I'm not sure who's guilty, but one thing I am sure of, the saloon owner believes in prayer, but the church doesn't." He believed that the church was responsible. Well, friends, I know that this church is here today because people have been praying. And we want it to be filled with God's glory. Amen? Jeremiah 9:23. "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches." This church has not been built because of our riches or our wisdom or our glory, but it's for God's glory. "But let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things I do delight." You also see in the Bible when God's people had drifted away from the Lord, it tells us that there on Mount Carmel, Elijah prays and the fire of God comes down. Amen? It's through prayer you see these great experiences. Another one, Acts chapter 4. This is a great verse. Acts 4 verse 31. "And when they," this is the church, the early church, "when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God with boldness." When the glory of God came down and filled them, what did they do? They shared the word of God. Was it just the pastors or everybody there? At Pentecost, was it just the 12 or 120 in the upper room? And this is not to be a church where just the preachers are sharing their faith. We're just to be edifying the members, where every member is equipped to be a witness. Amen? God has called all of us to be his witnesses. We should be doing this now, because how many of you want to be in heaven? You know, glorifying God is a serious business in heaven. You look in Revelation chapter 5, verse 11. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. By the way, this is the biggest number you find in Scripture. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them." You know, the Bible says someday the whole earth will be full of the knowledge of God. Saying, blessing and honor and glory. There you have it again. Honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever. Now, I suspect that if we're uncomfortable glorifying God here now, we probably won't enjoy it there then. We need to learn how to live for the glory of God here now. Amen? You know, the Bible says we not only want this place, this temple, this sanctuary to be filled with the glory of God, your body is to be a temple of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that right? All of us. 1 Corinthians 6:19, "Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, who you have from God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And in 1 Corinthians 10:31, "Therefore, whether you eat or whether you drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." And then finally, I love this verse, Colossians 1:27. "To them God willed to make known what are the riches and the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." The Bible's very clear. God wants us to live to his glory, to glorify him in our thinking, in our doing, in our giving, in our singing, in our praising, in our speaking, in all that you do. Living for the glory of God, because you're a Christian, and Christians follow Christ. And Jesus is the ultimate embodiment of the glory of God. For those operating the slides, they probably noticed I jumped back and now I'm going forward. I jumped forward, now I'm going back. Pray for them. It's really hard following Pastor Doug sometimes. Jesus embodies the glory of God. Luke 9, verse 32. "But Peter and those who were with him were heavy with sleep, and when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two, Moses and Elijah, who stood with him." You remember the story, friends, in the Bible where Jesus tells Peter, James, and John, or he tells all the disciples, he said, "Verily I say unto you, there are some of you standing here who will not taste of death till you see the kingdom of God come with power." And it says, "After 6 days he took them up to an exceeding high mountain, and he was transfigured before them." I use the story in Luke because Luke specifically says he's glorified before them. He's shining with the radiance and the majesty and the brilliance of heaven. And they saw the glory of God, and they couldn't even look at it. Jesus was the glory of God, and he is our example. He was full of the glory of God. You can look here in 2 Corinthians 4:6. "For it is the God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness," that God who created, "who has shown in our hearts," he can recreate our hearts, "to give the light of the knowledge." What is it that brings the glory? It's truth. It's the proclamation of the word. It changes everything. "To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Moses said one time, "Lord, I want to see your face." And he said, "No man can see my face and live, but I'll put you in the cleft of the rock and I'll pass by and you'll see me from behind." and you'll be able to glorify me. But you know, the Bible says we're going to see him face to face sometime in his undiminished glory. How are we going to survive that experience? You remember when the glory of the Lord filled the house, we just looked at four examples. It says Moses and the priests, they couldn't even enter in because the glory was so great. I'd be happy to put a ribbon across the door and not enter in if this place would be full of God's glory. But then we want to get to the place where we can abide the glory of God. Amen? Who can abide everlasting burnings of God's presence, the Bible asks. Colossians 1:19, for it pleased the Father that in him all the fullness should dwell, in Jesus. Hebrews 1:3, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. And again, Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You know, I remember that song, oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. No, that's not our closing song, don't worry. I don't want that to be the cue for the choir to get up. Day I will never forget, after in darkness I wandered away. How many of you remember that? But Jesus, my Savior, I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He heard the cry of my soul. Heaven descending and glory ascending. I don't know. Obviously, that was not planned. And then, but another chorus. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. When at the cross the Savior made me whole. My sins were washed away. My night was turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. That's what happens when you find the Lord and he washes away your sins. The glory fills the house. His Spirit fills us. There's not room in the house of God for sin. The glory of God will devour sin. If you want to get the darkness out of a room, you turn on the light. And if you want to get sin out of your life, you invite in the light of the world, bringing Jesus in. Jesus is all the fullness of the Godhead. John, Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John, who said, in the beginning was the Word. John, who talked about, this is the light that lights every man that enters into the world. John said, we beheld his glory. He was full of the glory of God. And Jesus, in his final prayer in John 17, Father, I desire that they also, whom you gave me, might be with me where I am, that they might behold my glory, which you have given me. For you love me from before the foundation of the world. You know, friends, I think we're entering into some very dangerous times. I think the world is just trembling right now, and you can just see those angels that are holding back the four winds of strife. It's almost like they're losing their grip. And I think there's going to be some real trials ahead. And even before that great time of trouble, when probation closes, I think there's going to be a small time of trouble. God's people are going to be tested. The church is going to be shaken. I believe that what's happened here, we stood back and watched the miracles of God, and I hear a little voice in the background that says, all this has happened. You have come to this point for such a time as this. God wants this church, and he wants the people to hear the three angels' message in the last days, and he's given us this platform to broadcast the truth around the world. Friends, we should not take that lightly. I can promise you the devil is not taking that lightly. And that's why we need to bathe this church and its program and its people in prayer. There's a storm coming. And I think we need to have the Spirit of God in us, the glory of God in us, to help us to abide what's coming. You know, I know a little bit about the sea. I've lived on the water, and we love to scuba dive and go out on boats. And I remember hearing about this tugboat, had a crew of about 20, that was out off very far from shore doing some kind of retrieval aid for a ship, and they were by themselves returning out in the deep sea. Tugboats usually operate pretty close to the shore, but this one had to go out in the deep sea. And all the sailors are required, at least in North America, to have emergency gear. It's called either an immersion suit or a wetsuit. Now, I've worn one of those before. What it is, it's basically a waterproof suit. It's not like a wetsuit, the thin ones that keep you warm when you're diving. This is a suit that's kind of a little bit baggy, but it seals around your neck with rubber. It seals around your wrists. It seals around your ankles. And if you are tossed into a cold sea, it will keep you alive because it makes you buoyant, for one thing, and it helps you to retain your body heat in that insulation of air. And this tugboat got into some rough waters, and the captain said, "Y'all know where your dry suits are?" "Aye, aye, captain." And he said, "It's getting a little rough here. You might want to put on your dry suits." And most of the crew said, "You must be kidding. Those things are such a pain to put on. You got to wiggle and squirm, and you can barely get your head through." It's really hard for me because the thing, it's got a seal around your neck, and it's rubber. And so you got a big head, it's really hard. And you got to fight, and they have their clothes on under it because it gives you added insulation. And most of the crew said, "Yeah, we're not going to put on our dry suits." Well, that boat got hit by a rogue wave in the storm, and they did not have time. Only a couple of crew members had taken the warning seriously, and they had their dry suits off. And it helps you survive in cold water for a long period of time. And the others, when they got spilled off in the ocean, they were overcome with hypothermia, and they froze to death, and they drowned, and they perished because they did not prepare for that environment. Well, you know, we need to be prepared for an environment that's coming. The Bible tells us that Jesus, you know, he is coming in glory. Luke 9:26, Christ said, "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and his Father's and the holy angels." That's a trinity of glory right there. You've got the glory of the Father and the Son and the holy angels. And you look in Mark chapter 8, verse 38. "For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in the glory of the Father with all the holy angels." And Jesus said, "Then they will see the sign of the Son of Man in the heavens, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn," because people have not prepared for that glory of when he comes. It's kind of like, you know, if you walk down below the church on a bright day like this and you turn over a stone, you might see a bunch of bugs that crawl out from under the stone. You know what they do? They run for cover because they don't like the light. Like cockroaches when you walk in a room. Hopefully you don't have this experience all the time. But if we in New York, we struggle with it. And you turn on the light and all the cockroaches that are out, they run for the dark. But I've also noticed when I'm up in the woods and I turn on a light in the dark, that the moths come to the light. And when Jesus comes, there's going to be cockroaches and there's going to be moths. You've got to decide which one you want to be. You need to go through a metamorphosis. You need to go from worm to butterfly, friends, or at least moth, to be able to abide his coming and that glory. Amen? God wants us to have that experience. Francis Fillon said, "God is so good. He only awaits our desire to overwhelm us with the gift of himself." Jesus wants to give you the gift of himself. He wants you to invite him in, that he might abide, that that glory might give you the power and that light to guide you and to cleanse you. We want the glory of God to fill this place. Amen? Through the proclamation of the word, through the law, through prayer, through praise, and we want the glory of the Lord to fill each of us. And it's my prayer that the Lord will do it now. Amen? You know, I'd like to invite our musicians and our choir to come up. And we're going to be singing that song that is such a beautiful, majestic song we thought was appropriate for this occasion. "Mine Eyes Have Seen the Glory." Sometimes it's called the Battle Hymn of the Republic. I guess I don't get to stay up here. The Battle Hymn of the Republic. It's 647 in the hymnals, and I trust you'll also see the words on the screen. How many of you would like to say in your hearts and your lives, Lord, I want my body temple to be filled with your glory? Amen. And pray that this church will be a place where God is honored, filled with his glory. Is that your desire? We're going to stand together as we are led in this song, and we'll close with prayer. God's people said, Amen. I got choked up. I couldn't sing. I felt the glory. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you and give you all the glory. Amen. For what you have done. What hath the Lord wrought is the question in our hearts and the praise. Lord, we just pray that you will bless this place and all the ministry, all the members, the ministers, and everybody involved, that we may proclaim your praises, that your word, your truth, your law. We also pray, Lord, that this might be a house of prayer for all nations. Amen. And that the truth will go out and people will find Jesus. Help us to speak, eat, drink, do everything to your glory. We thank you and pray for your presence through the rest of this exciting Sabbath day. And we just give you the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.